Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we've got a ton of Senior Bowl, 26 new Senior Bowl accepted invites to talk about, Trevor. I think the Tuesday show, talking about the invites that get accepted to the Senior Bowl on late Monday, is my favorite show of the week right now.
Tuesdays are getting fun. Because it's right after all those Senior Bowl things, and I think Tuesday is our most like NFL draft centric show. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we get into NFL, some rookies. We talk about some college football games here and there. That's good and that's fun and that's all part of the process. But Tuesday we really get into the. It's a definitely an NFL draft process day.
Right, and I think that one of the fun things is we kind of watch these guys all season long and. We kind of even know a lot of them are going to be end up in Mobile, especially the guys we really get excited about. We know that they're going to at least get invited, and that's really all we know at this point. A lot of guys accept, and then you know later you'll see a couple of these guys, I'm sure, bounce out of the game for one reason or another. But I think the excitement factor of us knowing that we're going to be able to get to see these guys in person and evaluate them and talk about you know how they practice and what they're like in interviews and even talk to them, and I think that part is really cool for me and really exciting. The quarterback class obviously has a ton of speculation surrounding it, who's going to come out, who isn't, but we know the seniors are in, obviously, and we've got four accepted invites as of yesterday. So we had no quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden four jump in. Kurt Benkert from Virginia, Luke Falk from Washington State, who had originally been announced that he was going to the Shrine Game. So I don't know if he got bumped up, if something happened or whatever happened, but he's actually going to end up at the Senior Bowl. Kyle Lauletta. I think it's Lauletta. I sound like Gruden trying to say JoJo Smooch Schuster last night. It's amazing. I think Kyle Lauletta, he from Richmond. I do not know him. FCS kid. He's going to be there. So see, it feels like there's almost always an FCS kid at the quarterback group. And then Mike White from Western Kentucky, who I know a couple people are high on. Mm-hmm. I don't really love any of these. I mean, I have seen very little of White, so I'm definitely reserving judgment there. Lauletta, I've seen none of. I don't know anything about him. Luke Falk, I've said repeatedly on here that I'm very low on, and I think that he's going to have a great week to prove to me that he's an NFL caliber quarterback. Now, I think he'll interview probably pretty well. He'll come off with the right personality the teams want. He has a lot of those game manager, backup quarterback type traits, but to me, I think he makes poor decisions with the football, and that's kind of an underrated part of it because he's had a ton of dropped interceptions over the years. I don't see the arm strength. I think he's not poised in the pocket or under pressure at all. Very, very skittish quarterback. Not a great athlete either. I just think the ceiling with Luke Falk's about as limited as you can get with a quarterback. I think I just can't see him being anything more than a mid to late day three pick, to be honest.
Yeah, it's tough to pick system guys high, you know. And when Luke Falk has not been able to operate within the system, within kind of a scripted game plan, within, you know, really we talk about quarterbacks playing out of structure. And maybe we've blown that a little bit out of proportion over the last couple of years. But the thought process behind it and liking what you see when people do things outside of structure is still there and it's still valid. And Luke Falk just feels like one of those guys who when things aren't in structure – there's not a lot to love. Not that he's like the worst quarterback ever, but right. Like you said, this is the NFL. This is the National Football League. It's professional football. It's the highest level of competition. Luke Falk's got to show a little bit more about what he can do outside of that Washington State structure, especially. So it's good that he goes, and that's what the Senior Bowl is for kind of guys like that. I did want to touch on, you know, two of the other invites because we got four quarterbacks right now, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And Dane Brugler said that Mason Rudolph and Baker Mayfield were two other ones mm-hmm. who had invites out. And he said at the end of his tweet, both would be wise to accept to go to the Senior Bowl. Would it really be wise of Baker to go?
Oh, I think. Because of the personality stuff, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I guess maybe the interview parts of it. But, like, I always kind of think, if you're QB1, why are you going?
But he isn't for the NFL, is he? I mean, I wouldn't think that he is.
Who is, though?
Rosen is.
Okay.
I think if Rosen comes out, he's the first overall pick. I feel I feel fairly, unless he like something comes out that he really hates every coach, he's and ever, all his coaches hate him, or he, unless he gets Connor cooked, unless that happens to him, and we find out nobody invited him to their birthday party. unless that happens, I think, yeah, Josh Rosen is your top overall pick. And if Sam Darnold comes out, I bet he and Josh Allen are probably in the mix there as well. And I think Baker would be higher on some teams' boards of those four. But I think that that's, from what we've heard, it seems like the NFL likes those guys the most. But I don't think Baker's a sure – do you think Baker's a sure thing, top 15 lock to be picked there?
I mean, I would like to say yes.
I would like to say yes too, but I have doubts. I have doubts. I think the NFL likes him. How much do they like him is going to be the question. I think he's going to end up on a good team in the back end of the first round.
Yeah, I guess, and that's my reason of saying that is because, you know, Baker has all this kinds of tape from Oklahoma that I just think, if you're already highly regarded, why would you? Because we've noticed that so many times with this NFL draft game. If you are highly regarded, the best thing that you could do is not participate in any of this crap because you let people's imagination do your work for you. So if you have a crap ton of really good tape, you don't even have to do any of these things. Hell, you don't even have to do the combine because people already just think that you're good. So that's my thing with Baker. And I was just like, man, does he really need to go to the Senior Bowl?
But has a quarterback hurt their draft stock by going before? That's my big thing. I think there's a lot of understanding that, you know, you're going to be uncomfortable with the offense, the weapons, the timing, and some of that stuff's going to be there. But teams are really scouting the traits, I think, there. And if you either have them or you don't, and I think that they'd be able to be on display at least.
I don't know if anybody hurts their stock, but if you're going – I mean, if you're up next to stuff, like let's just say like Mason Rudolph has an incredible week or an incredible 3 days, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then, like side by side with Mayfield, people might look at Mason Rudolph and it just opens the door. You see what I'm saying? It just opens the door for him to get passed up in other people's minds. And in terms of like meeting with teams and interviewing teams, like you could do that at the combine, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I do see what you're saying a little bit more than I did before that I brought up that point, but I'm still – I don't even know if Baker should go. Don't get me wrong, man. We're going to be in Mobile. I want Baker to be there. I want Baker
for sure.
to be there. But I don't know. I'm still on the fence about whether it would be wise, as Dane would say, for
– Right. I think I like the idea of both of them going because to me there's no clear-cut guy, and I think the same thing for Josh Allen, who Dane said – what Dane's exact tweet, and if you don't know Dane Brugler, guys, make sure you follow him at DP Brugler on Twitter. He said, according to sources, Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen is hoping to play in the Senior Bowl, but he hasn't graduated yet. He might try taking classes into January to be eligible for the All-Star game. So we have still obviously have yet to figure out what exactly is going to happen with Allen. He's a redshirt junior trying to graduate early. Hasn't happened yet. We'll see what goes down in January, if he's going to be eligible. I don't know how that works in terms of timing. So it's going to be, we're going to have to watch that one because he's another guy that you could argue the NFL might be higher on Josh Allen for God knows what reason than Baker Mayfield. And the reality might be that he still needs to be at this game because there's so many questions surrounding him in the level of competition that he plays in. And accuracy down the field and decision-making and smart. So I think he needs to prove that he can do it on the whiteboard. He can interview well and impress teams in that way. So I think he has a ton to prove, and I think he's going to get a lot of questions along those lines. And there are going to be probably more teams intrigued by Josh Allen than any other quarterback, and I get it. If I were an NFL team or an NFL scout, I would be very intrigued. He would be one of the top guys I would want to sit down with, find out what's going on between the years, because even though Carson Wentz was a lot better than Josh Allen in college, a lot better, there were still enough concerns with Carson Wentz where you had to believe that he could grow into the quarterback he is now. It wasn't a matter of taking him for who he was as a prospect. So if teams can get to that point with Josh Allen, and I think he's a lot further off, so I'm just kind of reasoning through it as a team would, but if they can get to that point with Josh Allen, it becomes a little more understandable why they would like him because they believe this is a guy who can fix the bad things and reach a ceiling. Now, you and I have serious doubts about his ability to do that, especially quickly given how far away he is, but from an NFL team perspective, I think that's how they'll reason through it.
Yeah, the Josh Allen thing, he should definitely go. Like, the whole, like, getting into the Senior Bowl is kind of weird to me. It's just a, like, oh, he hasn't graduated yet, but we're going to, like, try and give him a couple easy classes or something into January so he could just play in the Senior Bowl and graduate early. And I don't know. I always kind of laugh at how people do what they need to do to try and get into these all-star games for school.
Oh,
when
yeah.
when like there's the stipulations involved, but kind of not really if we need to get the prospects we need to get to in there. But no, I'm definitely with you. I think Allen, it would be wise for him to come in because I think opposite of Mayfield, you know, when you already think that Mayfield is good on the field, Allen's the one who's not. And certainly we know that Josh Allen's presence for NFL teams weighs a lot, obviously, because he was thought of to be this like top 15 pick for most of the year, even though he was terrible.
Right.
So I guess the more face time he could get with NFL franchises, the better. So why not? I guess it makes sense.
I think that's what it comes down to. You know, you and I both feel pretty confident where we're at with Baker Mayfield in our evaluation and pretty confident with Josh Allen where we're at in our evaluation. And I think that from our perspective, a lot would have to go right for Allen at the Senior Bowl for him to really move the needle for us. And a right. lot would have to go wrong for Baker to kind of fall off that point. So why risk it for Baker and for Allen? You better be there and you better ball out. But NFL teams, I don't know that they'll see it the same way we do. And I think they'll want to see something from both of them, whether it's personality-wise, interview stuff, X's and O's stuff, just meeting with them, getting to know them, another opportunity to get some local scout that might be at the Senior Bowl, not at the Combine, in your corner when draft day comes and you know he's pounding on the table for somebody. And so, or during the process leading up to that. So I think that it's a positive for both to be able to go. But it is funny how we can be probably pretty set in where we think of these guys. But NFL teams... teams that are going through changes on a coaching staff that might be getting a quarterback guru in. Oh, this guy's had success developing somebody raw with a big arm. Maybe he could do it again with Josh Allen. We'll see what he thinks if he meets with him at the Senior Bowl. And so I think all that's part of the process as well, that we don't really experience, but teams are going to have that, a different kind of perspective on that. The other guy, Kurt Benkert, we didn't really talk about from Virginia, big armed kid from what I've seen in games, not very accurate, very inconsistent, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions this season, completed less than 60% of his passes for the second year in a row, but was up. He was at 56% this year in 2016. This past year was just under 60% at 59.6% of his passes completed. I think that he's very erratic at this point from what I've seen of him. And I have to really sit down and focus on him. I kind of was surprised to see him get accepted here, but I think that I can argue there's more upside with him than with somebody like Luke Falk. 6'4", 215, he's got a lot of those traits the teams are looking for. I thought that he had a big arm, at least for distance, when I watched him live. I have to watch a lot more carefully to see, does he get consistent velocity on passes, zip on passes, because I think there's a big difference between the two. And so I like some of the things I've seen from Benkert, but to me, he seemed like a guy that was pretty far off when I watched him live.
Yeah, I don't have the other quarterbacks are kind of all, they're kind of just toss-up preference guys. Again, they're guys that you might go to the Senior Bowl, and when you see them next to one another, you might be able to separate stuff in your mind, but there's definitely like positives and negatives to kind of all the rest of the bunch.
Right. I think it's going to be top heavy, but they'll be, but last year it was like all bottom. You know, I didn't feel like there was a lot of really good talent in the group that was in Mobile. So it was, I think it'll be a big step up from that.
Apparently, Sean McDermott did with Nate Peterman, but go yes. on.
McDermott loved Peterman. Kalen Ballage accepts his invitation to the Senior Bowl, a very polarizing player in this class who will probably continue to be, and Rashad Penny, who is also probably a pretty polarizing player. Penny led the nation in rushing with 2,027 yards. There are some moves in this guy's game. I don't know how well they'll translate to the NFL field, but to me, he's a big back with better linear speed than most big backs. I don't think he's like a breakaway player or anything like that. Like, I don't think he's going to run like a 4.3, but he's a big back with better speed than most big backs. I think he's probably primarily a gap scheme guy in the NFL, has to see it, got to define it for him. But if he hits it and goes, he can be tough to bring down at the second level. I'm not sure where I'm going to fall on him in this class yet. I've got to do a lot more work on him. I don't think he's a top tier guy, but is he a middle tier guy, or is he an early day three type of guy that's just another big back kind of in the NFL? That's where I think I have to determine where I'm at with Rashad Penny.
Yeah, I mean the running back class is good, man. That's the crop that we're going to have at the Senior Bowl. I mean, when Royce Freeman is right now the quote unquote worst
right
running back, I mean, then you got a solid group. Kalen Ballage, really excited to see him. Obviously, going into the year, we thought that he might be a guy who could really break out because of his athletic profile at his size. Perhaps he still can. It's kind of a mystery of how he's been used at Arizona State. So I think we're really going to get to the bottom of that when we see him.
Maybe Kalen Ballage will switch to his good position of wide receiver that week.
Okay, wow. Sure. 6'3", 230. He could be like a tight end.
Maybe he's a tight end. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't think he's a great running back prospect. I'm just going to be honest.
I just don't know.
I wasn't excited by him last season. I really wasn't. I think he's like an offensive weapon type guy, maybe. There'll be a place for that. I don't know what it is. I don't think he's super elusive.
That's an interesting thing, too, because like normally offensive weapon guys, when you think about it, normally they're like what? They're the 5'10", 180, right. Super fast, yep, guys. Kalen Ballage is 6'3", 230 as like a quote-unquote, yeah, offensive weapon, like a running back, wide receiver, tight end, whatever. So.
He looks like David Johnson but doesn't run like him at all. I mean, not as physical a runner for sure as David Johnson, doesn't drop the pads like David Johnson does, and isn't nearly as patient as David Johnson is.
Sure.
To me, when I watch Ballage, I see a guy who has great burst and probably will run pretty decently. I don't think he's like a 4.4 guy, though. I don't see that. But at 230, 6'3", you know, I think that he's going to have pretty decent burst and decent speed. I don't think he's necessarily the most laterally agile guy or anything like that. I think he can be a part of your offense. I don't think this is a guy we're talking about in the top 60. Not based on anything I've seen. And we'll see when I finish up his tape from this year where I kind of fall on him. But I was surprised to see him only have 19 catches for 81 yards this season. 44 for 469 yards last season. Far from a game breaker in the receiving game, but certainly decent for a running back.
Arizona State's usage has been really weird with him. So, like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't.
Well, things are about to get a lot weirder at Arizona State too, I think.
Did
you catch that Herm Edwards press conference yesterday?
I didn't get to watch all of it, but I did like see that they're gonna light up the scoreboard in points of life or something. And like, can we just stop with that? Like, can we just stop? We get it.
It's amazing.
You're gonna make them great people. Don't come up with some cheesy phrase like the scoreboard of life.
Did you see the condemnation for Devils? Do you see that part?
No. What did he say?
So there's a guy there in the press conference room from Devils Digest, which Arizona State Sun Devils, obviously. Devils Digest is the article that is the place that he writes for, and he introduced himself and said Devils Digest, and Herm was like, you say Devil's Digest? And he was like, yeah. And Herm was like, no devils up in here, man. I'm a Christian. Like, you know, and I'm too, but I get it. But he was like, no devils up in here, man. I'm a Christian. Like, can't be dealing with that stuff. And, you know, I think he was being a little tongue in cheek, maybe, but there was an obvious, complete lack of awareness that he coaches for the Arizona State Sun Devils. Like, he had there was nothing about what he said that made it seem like he was aware of the fact that Devils was literally the team that he works for as mascot. He was like, can't have any Devils up in this organization. Not anymore, man. We got to have classy people and all that stuff. I was like, what are you talking about?
I do not think Herm Edwards is going to last at Arizona State.
I think he's a really good person. I think he's...
I do too. No. I have met Herm. Like, right. I love Herm. But college football nowadays,
it's different.
Like, if you want to be good, you have to...
He also he said, we don't huddle anymore, and that's what's wrong with our society. I don't even know what to say to that, because they kept their OC, I think, and he's not going to huddle. So I don't know. It's going to be – we'll see. We'll see what happens. We got a good group of wide receivers. They're starting to establish some of these bigger names are starting to come up. Marcel Aitman's a guy that I think has moved up the board for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
6'4", 220. He looks like the same vein to me as Alan Lazard from Iowa State, who we talked about, I think it was on last week's show. Mm-hmm. They look similar to me. I thought Aitman, probably not the most vertical guy, a guy that's probably going to remind us, I think I compared Lazard to Malcolm Floyd, not Michael Floyd, but Malcolm Floyd, the old Charger, a guy who won mostly in the air, but had really good ability in the air, concentration, wingspan, and everything like that, but probably was just a better vertical guy in that way than any other part of his game. You know, probably a mid-round type of pick. Aitman, how is he going to run? 6'4", 220, I think that'll be the key.
Right.
Can he separate? Those are kind of going to be the things I think that people are looking for.
Yeah, separation is going to be a big deal for a lot of these bigger guys. You know, Jaleel Scott's the same way, Lazard. Mm-hmm. And then Aitman, you know, when you're tall, everybody loves it. It's great. But you being the difference between you being a simply a red zone target and you being a possible wide receiver one, wide receiver two on a team is how well you can separate. You've got to be able to get around certain defenders, and you've got to be able to use your height in all areas of the field, not just when you're going up vertically in the red zone. So not that that's a bad thing, but you know, there are going to be some pretty athletic wide receivers. I think we're going to fill out a lot more athletic wide receivers as they start accepting their invites here. And you know, I mean, last year we had, you know, Cooper Kupp, Trent Taylor.
Right.
And then who
Josh
was the other,
Reynolds.
Who was the other little dude, though? It was
Cooper Kupp's not even that little. It was Trent Taylor and –
Who was the one other one? Oh, man.
I forget. There were,
I can't remember. But anyways, they were guys who were incredible with their feet. And so you would watch some of these bigger wide receivers that were also there. And if they couldn't keep up, you know, with some of the foot speed, because you'd watch one rep between a guy who was extremely agile, great at separating, great at getting those quick hit movements. And then you'd watch some of the bigger guys and the impression wouldn't be there. You'd kind of be skewed. That's why I loved Josh Reynolds, because I thought he did it all very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always interesting when these bigger guys are also cropped up with these smaller dudes, because you get to see different skill sets kind of one up against each other. And that's also where you can kind of realize, oh, this guy's a big dude, but he's a little bit flashier than this other guy. He might have the potential. He might do this and that. And so I like the big guys that they have there. I'm glad that they are there, because you get to see them against some other people. Jaleel Scott's obviously my big name that I'm looking for the taller dudes right now. But it's a good class so far. It is.
Jamon Moore also accepted his invite from Missouri. He's a guy that I watched one game of this past season, and he struggled in that game. I think he had a couple drops and failed to adjust to some balls. Didn't really impress me in that game, but he has back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for Missouri, so he's done some impressive stuff. So he'll be there as well. I think we're still looking for maybe a Darren Carrington gets invited, maybe James Washington, I'm sure. We're waiting to see whether he'll accept or not. Mm-hmm. Dante Pettis from Washington hurt his foot, I think, in their last game. We'll see what his status is, but whether he's going to accept or not. Cam Phillips is another senior we haven't heard from yet. So there's a couple guys still out there. There's plenty of wide receiver spots left. Just 6 have accepted so far. I feel like there's usually like 10 or 12. I think there's like 12. There's like usually like 6 on each team, I think, or something. So there's still at least, I think, half of those spots are still up in the air.
What are some defensive guys before we get out of here?
Defensively, we've got
Harold Landry.
Harold Landry is probably the biggest name, right? I mean,
yeah, I was very excited to see him join the list.
Harold Landry's had a weird year, right? There were articles literally written before the season. Harold Landry is going to be better than Myles Garrett. I mean, which were absurd, but there were those articles that were literally they were written this season, and he only had 5 sacks this year, and the numbers were back down. And when you watched him
way down,
because he had 16.5. I think he led the nation the year before. And when you watched him, I didn't think his effort was always 110%. He did sit out the last, I think, 4 games of the season, so that's a big part of it. He had an ankle injury, I think a sprained ankle, so that's a big part of the production being down as well. He wasn't fully healthy throughout the year, so you give him that. I think he definitely has the ability to corner. I don't know that there's much else in his arsenal. To me, what I need to see from Harold Landry, he played from a 2-point and a 3-point both at Boston College, so he has to prove he can drop into coverage for teams. For me, I'm more concerned about the pass rush. Can he power rush? Can he hit inside counters? Can he use his hands at the top of the arc? Those are the 3 big things for me with Harold Landry right now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think he's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, so yeah. Dropping into coverage is going to be a big deal for him. You and I brought up on this podcast, I wasn't big on him, but then I saw some flashes early on in the year before he got hurt of him being able to turn the corner. I was like, wow, you know, this is a good speed rusher. This guy, we might be onto something here with this Harold Landry dude. And then, like you said, kind of it, I don't want to say it dropped off a little bit,
right.
But I guess it kind of did. So especially him going into when he was injured. And so the Senior Bowl, I think, is going to be good for him. It gives people a chance to remember how good he could be, hopefully. So he was a good guy for me. And then I like seeing Armani Watts on this list too, because last year I haven't gotten a ton into scouting just individual guys yet this season. But when I was watching Justin Evans last year for A&M, you know, him and Armani Watts were the two safeties back there, and I saw a good bit of flashes that I liked and some physicality, some athleticism from Armani Watts, like I did from Justin Evans. Both of them were a little bit erratic at times, but as we're seeing with Justin Evans so far with the Bucs, that's okay on some tape sometimes, as long as you show that you are gifted in a lot of other areas. Some good coaching can really get the best out of you, and so playing safety is all about having great instincts and being able to go where you need to go and see where the ball is going to be before it gets there. And there is no better place to judge instincts than taking a player, kind of just like throwing him in the mix and kind of like a mixed shape coaching staff with players you've never played with before, and just get to see where their reactions kind of are at a raw level. So I'm looking forward to seeing Armani Watts.
Yeah, he's one of a number of names that really stood out to me on the defensive side. MJ Stewart from North Carolina, again, our guy Jonah Tolles, we always talked to him about corners. He liked MJ Stewart coming into the season. My biggest question with Stewart, he has no interceptions the past 2 years for North Carolina. Is that, that's fine if it means that on tape he just can't catch or something like that, you know, or he's not getting thrown at enough. But is it indicative of his ability to find the football and make plays on it? Because I think we're seeing the NFL value that more and more. And when I watched him, I think it was the first game of the season. I can't remember who they played, but when I watched him in that game, I thought that that was where he really struggled. So that'll be key for him to prove that during the week. Kamoko Touré. Now, are you familiar with Kamoko Touré?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm proud that you said the name correctly.
I know. That's unusual for me with any name that's slightly tricky. He's 6'5", 241. I've been watching this kid for – this is my third year watching him now. I didn't watch Rutgers this season, but this is maybe my third year being aware of him. He had 7.5 sacks and 8 tackles for loss as a freshman at Rutgers. Okay. And he looked like he was going to be the next big thing. Then he had all kinds of issues the next couple of years. The coaching staff barely played him. He played in 8 games in 2015. He was hurt and only played 3 games in 2016. He didn't get on the field a lot. He played weird roles when he got on the field. He dropped into coverage some. He was just kind of this weird hybrid type player. Then this past year, 12 games, 60 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. The numbers still aren't where you want him to be as a pass rusher. And I have to get back to his tape because honestly, I thought he was completely off the radar. But I know he's at the Senior Bowl for one reason. Senior Bowl, these guys are kind of like us that scout. They want the traits. And even though Touré hasn't done basically much of anything in terms of splash plays or big-time production over the last 3 years, really since 2014, he has traits. He is bendy, and he's explosive from what I remember seeing on tape. So I have to get back to him. I didn't realize that he was even being considered for something like this, but hopefully they saw the traits are still there and they want to give him an opportunity to show off for teams. He could be one of those players whose best football is ahead of him, I think. I mean, Rutgers, not really the best spot to highlight your gifts typically. And I think that he with an NFL coaching staff, there could be big improvements made there. And then who was the other guy? Oh, Micah Kizer was a linebacker. Sure. We talked about him before the season.
Yep.
I think he has like 400 tackles in his career.
Tackle machine.
Yeah. So he's one of those types. I thought a thumper between the tackles was a little slow to react, made a lot of second level tackles, didn't necessarily play fast all the time. And I questioned his range and his coverage ability. So those are the areas I think to me he'll need to stand out to really kind of capture my eye.
I think the Senior Bowl staff a lot of the times knows this stuff too, you know, and they're gonna put these players in positions where it might make them a little bit uncomfortable. You know, for example, with Ryan Anderson from Alabama last year, remember they had him dropping into coverage all the time with the linebackers because they just wanted to see like how he could do and how he could play in coverage and all this stuff, because they're like, hey, if you're gonna play a 3-4 outside linebacker all the time, you might need to do this sometimes. And so they wanted to see. And he didn't do that well dropping into coverage. And so then it's like, okay, well, this is what we have on this guy now. And for the rest of the days, maybe the rest of the practices, we can see what he is as a pass rusher. And so that's why the Senior Bowl is good, is because I do think that most of the time these coaches realize that, and they kind of put guys in, like I said, uncomfortable positions maybe. It's not necessarily – you know, when you go to the Senior Bowl, sure, it's to up your stock, to get in front of NFL teams, to show them how versatile you are, blah, blah, blah. But they're also going to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable at times. And I think that's their job, is because you're going to be uncomfortable in the NFL, especially going up against the highest competition. It's not just always mm-hmm. going to be. You're going to have to show your strength. Sometimes you have to get over a little bit of your weaknesses here and there, even though there's a little bit of scouting philosophy involved in that phrase. But I think it's good that guys get to go like that, especially like Micah Kizer, who have a ton of production. But you just want to see what he can do in some other trade areas to see what kind of linebacker you really have.
Right. The offensive line group, want to touch on real quick. Martinez Rankin accepted his invite. He's a redshirt senior from Mississippi State. He'll be one of the few big school guys that's accepted so far. I'm sure that Mike McGlinchey and Chukwuma Okorafor from Notre Dame and Western Michigan, respectively, they probably still have yet to accept or make a decision on their invitations. I would assume that both have been invited. But right now we've got Tyrell Crosby and Martinez Rankin from big schools, and as well as Cole Madison, who may, I think I've heard that he may end up being a guard from Washington State. We'll see. But then we also have two FCS kids, Brandon Parker from North Carolina A&T and Timone Paris from Stony Brook, and then two Division II kids, Alex Kappa from Humboldt State, Desmond Harrison from West Georgia. I don't know anything about Harrison. Kappa is a Duke Mannyweather, who, if you don't follow him on Twitter, at Big Duke, he does a lot of really good O-line breakdown stuff, works with a lot of these kids, has coached before, knows the position as well as anyone. To me, he is a big fan of Kappa. I think he worked with him at Humboldt State for a while, and he has been talking Kappa up to me for a while. And it is pretty rare for Duke to kind of go out on a limb for a guy like he's really put it out there that he's a big fan of Kappa. He thinks he has all the traits and could be a guy that really flies aboard. So 6'7", 305 pounds. He sent me a tape of Kappa, and I was blown away by how he moved. Now, granted, it's Division II talent, but this kid moves, and he finishes everybody, dude.
Sure. Wow.
He is violent, physical, but you want to see that at the D2 level. If you're better than everybody else, put people in the ground on a snap-to-snap basis. Absolutely. And it was awesome. I mean, it was – And it was like a lot of positive plays on the tape, so you always take it with a grain of salt. Even if you're not getting beat at Humboldt State, doesn't mean your traits translate. So this is going to be a huge week for him. It's easier to look good against that type of talent. It doesn't mean necessarily you can go right from D2, you know, to being an NFL starter, which you know, is what obviously he'd be groomed to be, at least eventually. So we don't see it happen a whole lot with small school offensive linemen. It does seem to be a tough jump, but you saw with Ali Marpet, right? I mean, there's a guy that played at a small school level and made the jump, and now he's a stud for the Bucs. So I think it's possible. Kappa could be that type of guy, that Marpet type of guy this season. If Duke's high on him, that means a lot to me. He's a guy that's immediately of interest to me, and based on what I saw on that tape, I need to find full games of this guy because his traits looked really, really good, explosive out of his stance into that drive catch phase, and then very, very physical. And he doesn't necessarily play super high. He's 6'7", 305. He didn't seem like he played super high to me. He's towering over a lot of players at that level, but I thought that he showed really good technique to finish, not just kind of throwing himself at people. Like, he was under control. So I was really impressed with what I saw from Kappa. I think he could be a guy to move up boards. Real quickly, other guys we didn't mention, Nick Bowden, a fullback from San Diego State. Very curious to see there because lead blockers at San Diego State, I don't know how they aren't grinders because that team loves to power run the football. I think he could be a good fit for certain NFL teams. Andrew Brown from Virginia, former five-star recruit. Cal Krabs over at NDT Scouting, really high on Andrew Brown. A couple other guys I know on Twitter as well. I got to take a look at Brown. Nick DeLuca, linebacker from North Dakota State. Duke Ejiofor from Wake Forest. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right either, but he is a guy that's put up pretty good production over the past couple years. I don't think he's super athletic, but we're going to get a chance to see him there. Desmond Harrison, I mentioned him, the offensive tackle from West Georgia. BJ Hill, a defensive tackle from North Carolina State. North Carolina State just has a little bit of talent, right? On that defensive line, we're going to see potentially.
So we're told, huh?
So Bradley Chubb's going to be there. Justin Jones is already there. BJ Hill is now going to be there. Now they have Kentavious Street too or something like that on their defensive line. I don't know what year he is though. I'm looking right now because if North Carolina State's entire defensive line is in Mobile, that's going to be amazing. Yes, Kentavious Street is a senior. So they have a chance to have three of their four defensive linemen are in already. We'll see if Street gets invited and what he decides to do. He was a guy that got a lot of attention preseason as like an athletic freakish type of guy with a lot of potential. But he never really stood out to me in games, to be honest. So North Carolina State's whole defensive line's going there. Cole Madison, I mentioned him from Washington State. Darius Phillips, another small school corner. This one from Western Michigan, so not super small school, but another corner from a non-Power 5 school. It's the cornerback group is insane. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this, but the cornerback group right now is Duke Dawson, we mentioned, Danny Johnson from Southern, an FCS kid, Teron Johnson from Weber State, an FCS kid, Michael Joseph from Dubuque, a Division III school, Saron Neal, an FCS kid from Jacksonville State, Darius Phillips from the MAC at Western Michigan, MJ Stewart, another Power 5 guy from North Carolina, Chandon Sullivan from Georgia State in the Sun Belt, and Demontre Wade, another FCS kid from Murray State. It's the year of the small school corner, man. Don't count them out.
Yep.
Wyatt Teller, a guard from Virginia Tech, and Nathan Shepard, a defensive tackle from Fort Hays State, will also be at the game. I think we mentioned everybody else. So Fred Warner, a linebacker from BYU, a guy that I'm really looking forward to watching and have heard a lot of good things about, will be there as well. So there you go. There's your look at a lot of these seniors that are going to be at the Senior Bowl. 26 guys to get through. A longer episode because there's a lot of names here and a lot to talk about with these guys. We'll get back on track. We'll keep talking about the conference championships and what our impressions were from scouting those tomorrow. We have a lot of good stuff for you throughout the week, so make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.